Now, this is the case 2011-SC-552, 30 minutes total, 15 minutes to a side. The case is the People's State of Colorado versus Beverly Mazur. Chief Justice Bender will participate in this case but can't attend the oral argument this morning because of another required engagement. Counsel, if you will please introduce yourselves when you come to the podium and who you represent, and then you'll have 15 minutes. And you'll keep track of your own time, please. You ready?
May it please the court. My name is Doyle Baker. I'm a deputy district attorney from the 4th Judicial District in Colorado Springs, and I represent the people in this case. I don't intend to dwell at length on the facts, but I'd like to begin by highlighting what I think are several key facts. The first being that this was a misdemeanor charge filed in county court. It remained in county court at all times. It was never transferred to district court, nor was a district court judge assigned to handle this case. Nonetheless, as revealed by the Register of Actions, Judge Iupa, a district court judge, sua sponte entered an ex parte order dismissing the charge, and the county court, as a result, vacated all future dates, including the arraignment. And the question that presents itself is, for purposes of getting appellate review of Judge Iupa's order, what kind of order did he file? And the answer, we believe, is that it was an order of a district court judge. And our reasons for that are that, number one, Judge Iupa was the district court judge and is a district court judge appointed to the district court. As a judge of the district court, he had jurisdiction concurrently with the county court over misdemeanors, and he didn't need any power that was unique to the county court. He didn't need to have that conferred upon him to handle a misdemeanor case. Now, obviously, there are a number of problems with the dismissal order, and there's a question about whether Judge Iupa has abused his discretion and exceeded his authority by taking a case that the county court had proper jurisdiction over and trying to enter a dismissal order, actually entering a dismissal order in that case.
He didn't get this case from anybody else, did he?
Pardon me?
He didn't get this case from anybody else, did he? I mean, he wasn't reviewing another county court case.
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
It's a very unusual posture. Could you explain to us how this happened?
It's a very unusual posture. Unfortunately, I have information that isn't in the record before the court because it was part of the record that we designated to go to the Court of Appeals. And because the Court of Appeals dismissed the case, the record was never filed.
Maybe you ought to help us out, because there's a legitimate question here about whether we ought to just dismiss this case because it's so unusual, never happen again, yet you brought this matter of some consequence to us, and at least in terms of the legal question you phrased. So give us the bigger picture, if you will.
If Mr. Lyle has any issues with what I tell you, I'm sure he'll...
Is that all right with the court?
But what happened was when the case was dismissed, we somebody in our office heard from Ms. Mazur's ex-husband, and Ms. Mazur and her ex-husband still have a continuing ongoing family law case, and at the time it was in front of Judge Iupa. We ordered a transcript from a hearing in that case. And it was a very short hearing, but at the hearing, some statements were made by Ms. Mazur's counsel about the criminal citation that she received, and there were some complaints about the manner in which the police handled it. Supposedly, they came to hotel where Ms. Mazur was staying rather late at night to serve her with this summons. At the end of that hearing, Judge Iupa made a statement that he thought that the police were out of line in the way they conducted themselves. 3 or 4 days after that, this minute order appeared dismissing the case. That, Your Honor, is the extent of...
Well, how did this misdemeanor case get before him? Hadn't he already become a district court judge?
He was a district court judge at all times at the time that this case was filed. He was never...
But he had the domestic case?
He had the domestic case.
So he thought something happened and regarding this misdemeanor case and...
Right. I mean, reading between the lines, all we can surmise is that he pulled the file and looked at what was in it in the county court case and then entered his order of dismissal. No explanation to us, no motion from anyone. Some of our staff found out about it several weeks after it occurred.
But I want to focus on that point. So was that order sent to people? Or how did...
It was not sent to us, Your Honor. We had no notice. The way we found out was, I'm not sure, frankly, how we found out. I know that we have support staff in our office that when misdemeanors are filed, the police reports and the summons and citation are taken to the district court, and every day our staff goes to the court copies the new cases that come out, and then we open our own file. And I think that our support staff was tracking the case. They knew there was an arraignment date set for approximately a month after Judge Iupa had entered the order of dismissal, and somehow they found out about it, brought it to county court's attention, and then we were faced with the decision of what we wanted to do or what we thought we should do with the case.
Mr. Baker, can I ask you a question? Is this a victim's rights case?
Pardon me?
Is this a victim's rights case? Because, anything that involves domestic violence, you can't tell by the nature necessarily of a charge. I mean, so I'm
not sure about that, Your Honor. From what I've seen, reading the little report that they made that accompanied the citation, I don't think there's an allegation that would support a finding of domestic violence.
I was kind of inferring just because it was a domestic case. So
yeah.
It's not, don't spend any more of your time on it. That's fine.
And there are actually a lot of holes in our knowledge, and I think the big reason for that is that, this case was only several days old, and all our office had done with it was to copy the summons and citation and the police reports, and then suddenly, without any notice to us, it was dismissed. And so, we have very little information other than what I've been able to garner after the fact and what I was hoping to include with the Court of Appeals. It is a very unusual case. I've never seen one like it. We have a situation in Teller where we have a judge who has dismissed a misdemeanor charge, but the facts are different than this. This is unique.
Can I ask you a question with regard to the specific? I just don't have it right in front of me. I should look again. But would you remind me what's the language? What's the precise language that that sets out the district court's jurisdiction to hear a case on appeal?
I have that, Your Honor. If you'll bear with me, I'll pull it up. And you're asking, Justice Coates, for the jurisdiction that a district court has over...
I presume the argument here all along is that the Court of Appeals is not the appropriate place to appeal if this would be designated an appeal to the district court. Is that right?
Correct.
And so what is the language that says the extent of the district court's appellate
the
jurisdiction?
The language comes from 13-6-310, I'm looking at subsection 1, which says appeals from final judgments and decrees of the county courts shall be taken to the district court for the judicial district in which the county court entering such judgment is located. Appeals shall be based on the record made in the county court.
And so when the Court of Appeals dismissed in their order, precisely what did they say? Did they dismiss on the grounds that this was an appeal from a county court?
They cited 310 in their order, and they said that this was, I believe the exact language they used is, this is a county court matter, or perhaps they called it a county court case, looking at where I think the case was filed, whereas we are looking at who the judge was or who the court was that entered the order. And I think that's, in a nutshell, where the question arises. Are we dealing with a county court case?
And so there was, in the Court of Appeals, either their dismissal order or, and what they issued a show cause order first, was there any suggestion that they were equating a misdemeanor in all cases with a county court case, or that they considered this a county court case because it was filed in the county court?
Their order to show cause recognized, I think the language they used is, this is an unusual case because it's the order of a district court judge. However, the language that they used was, it's, again, I think it was along the lines of, this is a county court matter, and it, their focus seemed to be on the fact that it was never transferred to district court. And that was the language that they used in their order to show cause. Looking at that, I think that they were thinking that unless it was transferred to Judge Iupa, any order that was entered was an order of the county court.
So the thrust of your argument is, it really doesn't make any difference whether it was a county court case and it was in the county court. What's of consequence for purposes of the appeal is who issued the order dismissing. Who issued the order you want to appeal from? Is that right?
That is correct, Your Honor. We had a lot of head scratching when this came up about what to do, and we did some calling around and we did some research, and I think basically we were drawing inferences from prior cases from this court, like Sherrod, where, again, we had Judge Iupa, who at that time was a county court judge, and was presiding.
You're not suggesting Judge Iupa just forgot that he had moved up to the district court?
I guess so.
But you are suggesting a district court judge pulled a county court file,
yeah,
and made a decision on it.
Well, and that's the way we look at it, and we also look at it that from the standpoint that, unlike Sherrod or the cases cited in Sherrod, like Merchant's Mortgage and some of those, where you had judges, either they were county court judges or they were court of appeals judges or they were retired district court judges, and they were trying to go back and issue orders in a district court case where they had no statutory or constitutional jurisdiction to do so. Here, Judge Iupa did have that authority concurrent with the county court, but the problem is we believe that once the case was filed in county court and it's a matter of original and concurrent jurisdiction, that it should have stayed with the county court. And while he had jurisdiction, he certainly exceeded his authority and abused his discretion by taking a case that was properly filed in another court.
And that's the substantive question of your appeal, but the question for us is, was it a county court order?
Right, and I don't think that Judge Iupa had to take on any special, there were no special or unique powers of a county court judge that he needed to exercise jurisdiction over the case. Any order that he entered, I think, was entered as in his capacity as a county court judge.
Counsel, I see your time's running out, so I wanted to ask, given your comment at the beginning that this is a very unusual case, is it your sense that this is a recurring problem that really requires us to dive in and make sure everybody understands how this works, or is it something else about this case that elevates its importance for you that we need to address?
Well,
I'd like to know your sense of the bigger
picture.
It's
an unusual case, but it's an important case for several reasons. One, as I mentioned, We had a similar situation come up in Teller County just last fall. And I think in our reply brief, I mentioned that, and I may have referenced an order to show cause from the Court of Appeals that we received in that case. Basically, it was a carbon copy of the order that we got from the Court of Appeals in this case, and we responded in a very similar fashion, and they, within the last month, dismissed that case on the ground that it was a county court case. And I believe that within the last week, we filed a second cert petition with this court. So we have, I think it's too strong to say that it's a trend, but it's recurring. Obviously, we're also very concerned about a district court judge doing this without notice to us, sua sponte, regardless of the merits of the charge against Ms. Mazur, which, frankly, we haven't had a chance to even evaluate.
And you don't know whether you want to prosecute it?
Well, we haven't had that opportunity. We believe that we're entitled to that opportunity and that the judge shouldn't be making that decision for us.
Additional questions before counsel stands down here? Okay, thank you for your argument.
May it please the court, I'm John Paul Lyle. This is my first time before you. I appreciate your time today. I represent the respondent, Beverly Mazur. 90% of what Mr. Baker said, I'm in agreement with. And since this is my first time,
it would be good for you to tell us that 10% you disagree with.
Okay. He said there may be a recurring problem, and he notes a case in Teller County where a district court judge dismissed a county court case. The district attorney's office has appealed, or they appealed that to the appellate court, and the appellate court said, no, this was a county court case. You should have appealed it to the district court. It was very different because that was, my understanding from Mr. Baker, a jury trial that was set. The county court judge that was supposed to preside over it was unavailable, so the district court judge up in Teller County sat in on that misdemeanor docket and decided to dismiss the case. So to me, that's real different than what we've got here. I also make no comment at this point on whether or not what Judge Iupa did was appropriate. That's not an issue that's here. It's just a matter of, was the appeal of what Judge Iupa did appropriate to go to the district court, or was it supposed to go to the appellate court? My position is it should have gone to the district court because it was a county court case. It had never been transferred to the district court. It was in the posture still of a misdemeanor. Judge Iupa went in and dismissed it. The provision in the law for the transfer, frankly, doesn't give you any rule that's specific as to defining what is a county court case versus is it the judge and the judge's status as a district court judge or a county court judge that makes it a county court case. It doesn't really say. All we know is that this was indeed a typical misdemeanor. It was in the county court, in a county court division. Judge Iupa's decision to dismiss it was not an issue that's...
Do you think the appeal could have gone back to Judge Iupa?
Well, theoretically, the appeal could have gone to a district court, and I don't know what his district court brethren would have done with that. They might have recused themselves and looked for a district court judge from another district to make the decision. I'm pretty sure that Judge Iupa would not have ruled on his own appeal.
I think you're probably right. May I ask you a question, though? It seems to me implicit in that argument is that when a district court judge is ruling on a misdemeanor case, which he has authority to do, he is ruling as a county court judge rather than simply that a district court has jurisdiction, is a general jurisdiction over misdemeanors as well as felonies.
That's my position.
Okay.
That's my position. And it would have been much easier to make this argument and make that black and white if Judge Iupa, as a district court judge, had been covering for a county court judge over a regular county court docket. That's really not what happened here. I don't want to suggest that it was. It was very unusual.
I ask you, Mr. Lyle, you mentioned on the Teller County case he was sitting in. Did you mean that he was sitting in back, or he was sitting as the county court judge in the Teller County case?
As I understand from Mr. Baker, because I looked it up online and there's not any details, but this morning from Mr. Baker, that case, the district court judge went in and sat on the bench of the county court. The district court judge sat on the county court bench and handled that county court docket.
So he's covering?
Covering for a county court judge that was under it.
All right. Thank you.
That would, you're not suggesting that would be true, though, of any misdemeanor. I mean, if you had a case in which both a felony and a misdemeanor were combined and they were before the district court and the judge dismissed the misdemeanor, that would pretty clearly be an appeal to the Court of Appeals, would it not?
Absolutely. And that happens all the time. In fact, there's a formal procedure in the 4th Judicial District for county court cases that come in, misdemeanors, where there is also a felony case up in district court against the same defendant for transferring that county court misdemeanor to the felony district court division, so they handle them on their own. That's fairly common.
But that's a de novo. That's not an appellate review. That's a transfer of the county court case.
That's a transfer of the county court case to the district court.
To be consolidated with the other matters. But yes, that's not what occurred here.
No, sir.
Well, let's give the benefit of the doubt to Judge Iupa. You know, we've been pushing this one judge, one family concept. So what is it that your client was charged with that he took exception to?
He was charged, my client lives out of state. She was here for a procedural matter or for a hearing on a domestic case in their divorce in a child custody issue. While she was here, she got into a spat with her ex-husband, and one way or another, she ended up getting charged with a misdemeanor. I think it was a trespass. Second-degree criminal trespass.
In his house or something? Well, I'm sorry, I didn't study the facts, but somehow she comes back in and they get in a fight. He calls the police.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Okay.
Ultimately, the police interview him and they follow fairly standard protocol. They go and they talk to her and they ultimately end up either arresting her or issuing her a summons for the class three misdemeanor. So that within the next day or two, the parties were in front of Judge Iupa, not on the county court misdemeanor. They were in front of Judge Iupa strictly on the domestic case. The issue arose during that proceeding that this thing had happened. The facts were given, even though the case wasn't in front of Judge Iupa, about what had happened. And apparently, as Mr. Baker says, Judge Iupa, on his own, looked it up, probably on the computer, probably read the PC affidavit, and whatever information there was available, and decided that it was appropriate for him to step into the county court case and dismiss it.
Correct myself, and I apologize. It was second-degree criminal tampering, not trespass.
Okay.
Sorry, but same thing. Class 3 misdemeanor still.
And I have not spent a lot of time on the underlying facts, because if you decide that the case should have been appealed first to the district court instead of the appellate court, I think that the district attorney's time limit has run and the case is going to be dismissed. Obviously, that's to my client's benefit and why, in large part, why I'm hoping you agree that the appellate court should not have taken the case.
You gave us an alternative here, right? The matter should be remanded to county court, because the Supreme Court cannot make a fair decision on the basis of sparse facts presented. The record needs to be developed in a hearing, as this court cannot make a decision because there are insufficient facts upon which to determine the issue of law.
I think that's a fairly lousy argument on my part.
you're going to withdraw that offer? We could make this right by sending it to county court for trial.
Could you? I don't know. I suppose if you tell me that you could, then yes.
I don't know. I'm just putting it out so you could respond.
Really not to be facetious, Your Honor, but what that argument entails is less to do with the underlying factual events of the misdemeanor case, but the facts of the transfer by or the lack of a transfer of a county court case to the district court. I mean, I think theoretically, Judge Iupa might ought to be given the opportunity to say whether or not he believed he was transferring a case to district court, or if he was simply stepping into the shoes of a county court judge and dismissing a county court misdemeanor.
I know that's an interesting sort of approach or different twist on this a little bit that I wasn't picking up on. Part of that argument then is that you think a district court judge, it varies whether he's acting as a county court or a district court in making the order depending on whether he has first issued an order transferring the case to himself?
That's not a situation that I've seen or know of happening. To me, if the formal procedure had been followed here, then that would be a transfer of a county court case to district court. But I guess if I understand the question, my position is Judge Iupa simply getting on the computer, looking at the facts as he saw them, and entering an order with that case still being in the county court, in the county court division, he was acting essentially as a county court judge.
So basically the flip side of what I ask opposing counsel, Mr. Baker, was you basically would say what's determinative of the appeal is the court in which the case was filed, not who gave the order dismissing it.
Yes.
Is that right?
Exactly.
What do you think of the import of the Fourth Judicial District's chief judge's order with respect to the transfer of county court criminal cases to the district court? It seems to me that that order would be very helpful in allowing us to figure this out. Could you comment on that, please?
I don't want to comment out of turn because I don't have at the front of my brain right now that chief judge directive. I know that we have the Fourth Judicial District over time has made a couple of different procedural protocols for transferring county court cases up to the district court. They always, to my knowledge, have involved transferring cases that are misdemeanors that have a criminal they're a criminal case to another criminal case that's in district court because it's a felony.
Well, for example, it says the district court shall not consider a county court case transferred to district court until the county court division has entered a minute order transferring such case to district court. So I gather that here the county court never entered a minute order.
No.
And the case was never transferred, I guess, therefore, to district court according to the chief judge's order. So the case remained in the county court per this administrative order.
Correct. And I can't speak to the what's behind that administrative order.
Please.
There was some tension in the past by the county court in the Fourth Judicial District of misdemeanor cases that they, as the county court judges, or perhaps the usually the DA's office in the county court divisions, did not like their cases getting sucked up to district court and then suddenly being dismissed as part of felony plea bargains, which happened a lot, and it ran afoul from time to time, it seemed like, of the victims' rights in domestic cases. So the order that you're reading...
Well, it's just an administrative order.
My understanding from that is the agreement then became between the district court and the county court that the district court says, okay, we won't just bring up to be with felony cases the county court misdemeanors so that we can dismiss them with as part of plea bargains unless the county court sees that and signs off that that's an appropriate thing to do. Was that anywhere close, Justice Rice, to shedding light? I would love to answer questions. Let me just finish by saying that I've found no definitive statute or case controlling what you do here. I do think it's a novel enough issue that it doesn't need a frankly, a black and white decision by you.
It would be a bad thing, though, for district court judges, essentially when they felt like it, to go down to the county court and dismiss a case. I mean, that's not a very good administration of justice, or procedurally very fair to anybody, is it?
I don't disagree that
I mean, you'd right love there. That outcome, but it's just not. I mean, you'd agree that that's not the way the system ought to work.
And I agree. It's not the way it ought to work. It's not the way it usually works. I don't think that's the issue before this court.
Well, the issue before the court is who's going to say what level of court is going to review that and determine whether or not the system didn't work right, whether it was unfair to the prosecution or to everyone who was involved, perhaps victims. So we've got to figure out, you know, how to talk about that. And, you know, as a former district court judge, I mean, I think there's always these problems between the county court and the district court, and who's doing what. Why wouldn't an opinion from this court be of assistance to all sorts of jurisdictions who have the county court, district court dichotomy and trying to work together? But by the same token, we're trying to keep the appellate rules so that they make some sense for everyone.
It would be of assistance. I'm not going to argue that it's not. I think that whether you decide that this was a county court case that should have been appealed to the district court, or whether it was a district court case, given these particular circumstances, that a county court case had been transferred to district court and therefore should have been appealed to the appellate court, I think you can make a rule one way or the other on that.
But your point is that the Court of Appeals was correct.
Yes.
I mean, it didn't have jurisdiction. And you were arguing for us just dismissing the grant of cert as improperly granted because, quote, these are unique facts that are unlikely to reoccur.
Yes.
Is that still your position?
It is.
Okay.
It is. I am trying to be honest with the court, though, in terms of I don't find a strong policy argument for deciding one way or the other. I think there are logical arguments to be said both ways. I'm hoping, obviously, that you see it as the appellate court saw.
Questions? Thank you. Thank you for your arguments. The case stands submitted. And